In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Nana Visitor, and you are watching Trek Culture.
Welcome back to the Trek Culture Podcast. We are your hosts, Sean and Tom and Ellie. I mean, you are a full-time host, basically. Even when you're not here, you're here.
I've been promoted.
Absolutely. I think you have earned this promotion. Absolutely.
Thank you.
It is very nice to see you. And also, because I know people have been asking, it's very nice to see you a bit, feeling a bit better.
Yeah. It's nice to be feeling a bit better.
Good.
Yeah. This makes me happy. I got a little bit wiped out, not going to lie. The universe went, you know what? Let's just knock you down a few pegs.
it was a bad old dose as well, actually. But yes, everyone out there has been very lovely. Lots of well-meaning messages. Well-meaning messages as opposed to well wishes.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're two different things.
Well-meaning messages. It sounds like they actually said something that was horrible, but they meant to say something nice.
If you could just stay sick for a little bit longer, that would be great.
Well, yeah, selfishly, I had a great time doing the videos, but no, I'm delighted to have you back. I won't lie. Tom, how are you? As Ellie gets better, are you deteriorating at pace?
Yes, it's like, do you remember that film Hancock when, like, the closer they were together, the more ill they got or something?
Oh, my.
I can't remember. No one's ever spoken about Hancock for like
Will Smith
15
and
years.
Chris Rock.
It's Will Smith. Oh, okay. I don't think Chris Rock's in it.
Okay. No, because I just remember one of them coming off worse than the other.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. I see. Like, I didn't get the joke because Will Smith is actually in it. So my brain was like, has he misremembered?
Heck, I'm not going to lie. It wasn't exactly a timely joke. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, I know. Well, the reference was old and then your reference was a little bit old. So I think our brains aren't doing well. But the good news is I had car troubles and now I've got a new car. I've got a broken washing machine since December, Christmas time. And I've now got a new washing machine and some other third thing I can't think of right now, but I'm sure something will come to me during the podcast. During this episode, I will blurt out something else that's good with me going on at the moment. Oh!
Website!
Website and release date. So I've got a website for my author stuff, which is kind of, it's active, but we're kind of waiting. When you make a website, you have to let it a couple of days before like the internet decides you're not just like some spam robot thing. So we're going through that. And there is a release date for my book, which is July this year. A specific date will come at some point when I actually have things in order, but that is the aim at the moment. So look forward to that.
Well, that was all very, very good news. So, yeah, let's see if we will stay on the topic of good news as we go into discussing this week's episode of Discovery, Season 5, Episode 4, Face the Strange.
So So yes, Face the Strange, the fourth episode of Discovery. The little summary I grabbed from the internet today is, as the race between Discovery and the bounty hunters Lack and Mole intensifies, an unexpected weapon forces Burnham and Rayna to work past their differences to save the rest of the crew. A pretty simple summary, but it is kind of also a simple premise, although it feels complicated. Let's get into that.
Overall thoughts. What did you think, Ellie? First, what did you think?
I wouldn't say it's my favorite of the four we've seen so far, but I also wouldn't say that it's my least favorite. Obviously, you guys have already discussed the previous three. I haven't discussed those. It was kind of it's one of those episodes where I didn't have anything wow to say about it, but I also didn't have anything massively negative to say about it. It just kind of was. What I will say, because obviously I haven't had a chance as of yet to discuss this season so far, with regards to season five in general, I really am enjoying the kind of the structure much more than the previous seasons. What I really like about it, I mean, I don't know if you guys have discussed this in the previous, because I totally listened to all the three previous podcast episodes. And, you know, shock horror, Ellie's going to talk about Voyager for a second. But I think it is important to note, one of the reasons I love Voyager so much is because from the very first episode, you know what their end game is. You know what they're working towards, what the goal is.
End game.
see what I did there? and so you as an audience are invested in following that journey, but you always know as well as the characters what the outcome is that they're searching for. Whereas things like the previous few seasons of Discovery in particular, yes, you know that they're searching for an answer to a big mystery, but you as an audience also don't know the answer to that mystery. And so it's oh, we need to locate the source of the burn or whatever the big bad was in season four that I definitely remember. whereas this, I like that they've basically gone from episode one, here, this is what we're looking for specifically. And now we as an audience get to follow you on this quest. And there are still mysteries and turns along the way, but we know what's at stake right from the very beginning. And I think that's why I love Voyager so much. And that's why what I'm enjoying about the structure of this season so far.
Yeah, that's something interesting I've not really thought about, because with a lot of the shows being more episodic, you know, TNG episodic, the point of them was just to cruise around and explore. And then Voyager had the framework of they are stuck in this part of space and they're trying to get home. And then they have the episodic nature throughout. Deep Space Nine, the same, but then you have the Dominion War as a structure, et cetera, et cetera. The new stuff, like really all of them, every season is kind of them throwing something at the wall and seeing if it sticks. And if it kind of sticks, maybe falls down a little bit, they'll change what's going on to see what works better. So with most new Star Trek, other than the two animations, I would say they've all been trying to do that. So it does feel, most of the shows kind of feel a little disjointed. And it, you know, you could argue that Discovery is designed that way. Maybe they all set out to be, each season is its own thing, but it doesn't feel that way. It feels like each season is them going, let's try and do this instead. And whether it works or not is fine, but it makes it as a whole feel a little disappointing.
I think, yeah, each season has done to certainly set the course correct. Some warranted, some maybe reactionary. I know they said that they were always going to bring the Enterprise in at the end of season one. Let's say I believe them for a second. I do think that season two benefited from that, bringing over Pike as a character. And then I think it has been much, much better for having gone to the future. It's let it have its own identity, I think, a bit more. It was funny that you both mentioned Voyager as well, because there's seen a lot of comparisons between this episode and the episode Shattered of Voyager.
Yeah, I wrote that down in my notes.
Well done.
100%. Yeah, and I absolutely see it. All right, the methods are different, but it's effectively, we're doing the same thing here. We're jumping into the future, we're jumping into the back. Look, that's fine. If an idea is good, reuse it.
Can I jump on from that? Because maybe now's a good point to just skip to my point about Shattered. Because when you do a time travel story, you can easily fall into the trap of Shades of Grey clip show. And that I don't enjoy. But what I do enjoy and what I really liked about the way they did it here is you can revisit events and moments that we as an audience are familiar with, but explore it from a new perspective from a character who we didn't get to see in that first initial viewing of it. And that's what happened in Shattered. You had events that you were familiar with, but you saw them from the perspective of a different crew member or in a different area of the ship. And that's what worked really well. And I think that that's a good way of doing a time travel story and engaging the audience by going, hey, remember when this happened? Well, let's see what it was like for this character that you forgot was also there at the time because we didn't see them. And I watched your ups and downs, Sean, for this episode. And that's where I would disagree with your point of why was Book there? Because Book is a good character who we don't necessarily see all the time and therefore works well as a character who can pop up and not be like, well, why are you here? Because, oh, yeah, you were on the ship when that happened, but we didn't necessarily see you in that moment. And so he's a good character that can pop in. And the same with Reno.
Of the two, I far enjoyed Reno's.
Yes.
More. I think as well, I mean, I get why Book was, I get both reasons why Book was there. Book was there because David Ajala has been contracted for 10 episodes. Lol. But Book was there because it was, you know, this callback to this earlier, happier time with Burnham. And I think, I mean, this episode for me was sort of a, rather than, I mean, I the comparison to Shattered works, but this was a best of Burnham or Burnham moments to kind of show how she's grown. Since her arrival on the ship, right through until, and then of course you have your threat being, you know, what could happen in 30 years. So you have your stakes.
The other episode that it reminded me of as well was another Voyager one, which was Relativity, which is another Seven is traveling through trying to prevent something in the future. They're also very, very similar stories.
For sure. Actually, now that you say it, I think Relativity might even be the better or the more...
Well, they're both the ones I wrote down, Relativity and Shattered, for different reasons, but also kind of similar reasons.
For sure. No, I like that one a lot. I think... So, I mean, I did enjoy this episode. I think everyone is great in it. And, I mean, this was the We're Saving Money episode of the season. And it was, and so those episodes can be fabulous. Look at The Visitor from DS9, which I always bring out. Like, we want to get a bottle show that doesn't cost us much money. Grand. That's what this episode was. And I think they knew that. They played with it. We get our fun, you know, we get the return. I didn't think I'd miss them as much as they did. The return of the uniforms from seasons 1 and 2. I actually quite like them. They've grown on me. I will say that because I remember I was only talking to somebody the other day about how when I saw them the first time, I was like, give us more of a hybrid with the Enterprise ones. But, and I know there was originally plans for that, but things fell through. I know an interview came out over the weekend where they discussed why Lorca's not in this season. I still can't get over the, this is Lorca's shift, but he's over there, so we're going to go this way. And I was like, it was a bit obvious there. Yeah. And that's fine. Look, it's fine. It is what it is. But like, so say they were traveling through the wormhole and they never addressed Georgiou. She was there. She was on the ship. They didn't address it. That's fine. Do you know what I mean? I think that's why it stands out a little bit more to me. It's that they took the opportunity to go, do you remember this name? You won't see them.
That's funny. I tell you what, though. Little joke, because obviously we had this massive discussion about trying to identify what we finally learned was the Inari at the beginning of the episode.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But can I
thank
just,
you, your killer brand, you legend.
Can I just say, right, Nightingale, the episode of Voyager Nightingale, was number 9 on my 10 most forgettable Voyager episodes. And the fact that I watched that episode merely 3 weeks ago to write that article and still couldn't remember that that's what they looked like, just further reinforces that it deserved to be on that list.
Yeah.
And what I will do as well is I will apologise to all Buffy fans out there, because the character of Valen in The Void, the other Inari, was played by Robin Sachs, who was Ethan Rain himself, Ripper's dodgy friend from the past. And I love him, or loved him. He's left us now. But yeah, so and I forgot that. So, I mean, listen, Yours is worse because you watched yours a couple of weeks ago. But
just highlights the fact that it deserved to be on that list because.
Oh, yeah.
I went for a Marvel character over it being someone I literally saw 3 weeks ago.
I love that. You were just like, is that a Skrull? I'm just like,
I mean,
no,
I knew what? That wasn't the answer, but I was like, look, if we're throwing things out there, it could be that. Who knows?
I think as good as this was a great Stamets episode, which is sort of a comment on how good of a Burnham episode I thought this was. If that makes sense. I think this is a great Stamets episode. Yes, what about it as a Burnham episode? It's a great Stamets episode.
Right, I see what you're saying.
It didn't do it for me. Burnham v. Burnham. I felt, and I am absolutely happy to be in Ireland here. I felt we didn't really need the look back at season one Burnham the way it was presented, because if there was ever a character who has faced more fan backlash and, I hate the term, the Mary Sueism or argument, I didn't think we needed to have their side by side to show her growth. I think her growth stands. Mm-hmm. So perhaps I'm reading far too much into it. But I also, and I stand by what I said, the elevator scene was enough. We didn't need two scenes of past Burnham. Mm-hmm. What we did need is any kind of logical sense as to getting Arium to agree. Hey, Ellie, I know how you're going to die. So can you do this thing for me?
Yeah, that made no sense to me either. No. I thought it was going to be some really cool thing because only Arium can do it. And it was I was waiting for it to be some exclusive thing for that character that was something to do with the way that her brain works or something. And
even had there been maybe a Arium as a human lie detector, something like that, then perhaps, sure, and maybe that was it. And I'm dumb and didn't pick up on that. But I
feel like of all the things to use as the thing to say, hey, I'm not lying, I know how you're going to die. Well, she doesn't know how she's going to die. So how can she tell if you're lying or not? Tell her something she actually can go, yeah, that's true. How do you know that?
Exactly. And frankly, she could be telling you the truth. Burnham could be planning to kill her in 157 days. she could still be telling the truth.
Yeah.
I think it was great to see Arium back again, and I think poor old Arium never got enough screen time to begin with. So I do not begrudge getting Arium back at all. Same way, it was nice to see Bryce, he's gone, but it was nice to see him. That was cool. I enjoyed that a lot. I just thought the idea of bringing Arium back overshadowed figuring out why. And, there could have been anything, perhaps in the way that, I wouldn't replace younger Burnham with Arium in the elevator, but in the way that, whoops, we bumped into and I have to convince you, had that happened with Arium. Great, cool, lovely. And
I almost feel I've just thought this as you've said it, but in that last scene where it was Burnham and Rayna, season one, Burnham and Rayna, where you perhaps that would have worked better if it had been Tilly, because we'd seen in the previous episodes this kind of conflict between Tilly and Rayna. And so keep the scene between Burnham and Burnham and have Rhys and Tilly the ones that were trying to stop Rayna, and have just so you didn't have basically a repeat of trying to convince Burnham again.
I think, I think that's it. It was a good idea. And thumbnails and everything out there. It's a cool shot of having the two Burnham side by side. I do get why they did it.
Technical point of view, that was a really clever scene. And I will say, actually, for all of the kind of making them all look like season one again, how sometimes, if we go back to Shattered for a minute, even though you put a Bun of Steel wig on Kate Mulgrew, you cannot hide the fact that 7 years have passed. And despite the fact that these scenes are supposed to be the first time she sets foot on Voyager ever, if you put an image of her there side by side with an image of her in Caretaker, you can tell that she is 7 years older just as a person. But I was watching these characters and I was like, they genuinely look exactly like they did in season one. I'm not even spotting like signs of aging or the things that you would usually see when you stick a wig on a character, on an actor, and go, hey, play the character as they were X number of years ago.
Mm. No,
that was very clever.
Just funny, actually, because you're dead right about the bonus seal. But you know what they always forgot to do? Because they did it a couple of times when they did time travel. They never addressed the fact that Harry Kim and Tom Paris completely changed their hairstyles between Caretaker and the later episodes. And they never do.
In the Delta Flyers, they often discuss their hairstyles. That's like one of the things. They're like, I didn't like my hair in this episode. Or your hair looked really good in this episode.
Tom, what do you reckon? I think we've kind of espoused our issues with the episode. What do you think?
It's a mixed bag, but I would say that for me, it's my favourite episode of this season so far. It's going to sound like I said, a mixed bag. I always struggle with time travel concepts in fiction because usually it doesn't really make sense and it's kind of convoluted. And, you know, a lot of the time, I think there was a line in like the Marvel movie where it's like, just don't worry about it and enjoy the ride or whatever. And it's always like, yes, but because it's such a complicated concept, I am going to worry about it and think about it a lot. So it's going to be bothersome the whole time. That didn't happen too much with this, but like that's always a thing. And like you said before, the convincing part, it definitely felt like they came up with the concept for the episode first, ran with that, and then got to the end and went, oh, we need her to convince her somehow. What about this? Fine, okay, throw that in. Which, you know, that's what it feels like, which is a shame. And the stuff with Burnham fighting Burnham, it's like one of my main issues with the episode was pacing. But I kind of have that with a lot of new Trek, like Strange New Worlds does it as well, where even if it's something I'm really enjoying, they seem to run with it for a really long time in the episode before they move on to something else. And I think a lot of the time, we've talked about it with like the fight scenes in the previous episode, etc. A lot of this stuff could just do with trimming a little bit. Just cut 10 minutes off, move on to something else. Saying that as well, it could be a reason why this isn't hitting really hard for a lot of people. It seems like a lot of people like the episode, but it's no one's favorite because, as you said, it's like a bottle episode. It's kind of character work. We're doing a character thing with Rayna and Burnham and exploring them both and you know, the thing of when this whole time travel stuff starts, they're at odds, and then when it finishes, they've learned new things about each other and they have a different relationship. And they've done it in a clever way. So, like, it is good and I think necessary for the characters in the show. So that might be why people are kind of, like, not super infused by it, because not much plot is being, you know, is being gotten through. It's kind of just, let's stay here and explore this for a moment. But I did like, that's the sort of all the things I liked about it. So I did like that. And I enjoy a good sci-fi concept. To talk about Doctor Who for a second. When it was those three specials recently, and the second one, which I think is most people's not super favorite, when they were stuck in that ship and they had the big wobbly versions of themselves. Again, that concept just ran and ran and ran for ages, and you kind of got to the point where you're like, okay, I get it. They're being chased by wobbly people and everything's going to be confusing and blah, blah, blah. But what I really liked about the episode is that it felt like it had a classic sci-fi concept to it, which was the main thing that made me go, oh, that's nice. And I felt that with this episode too. I like a classic sci-fi concept. It's what a lot of, you know, the old Star Trek shows had, because they tended to be written by writers who were born in a sort of generation growing up with certain things where sci-fi was written in that certain way. Well, I think now shows are written in a different kind of way by writers that are, you know, just in a, maybe I'm being all vague about this, but I'm trying not to just go on and on and on. Writers that are like in a different generation that are brought up in a different way and that write things differently. So when a concept like this happens, I'm always excited, which I think is what did it for me. But yeah, honestly, I think most of the things have been said. If I go through my notes, fun premise, yeah. A good way of doing a clip show, yeah. Shame they couldn't have had Lorca, yeah. And the pacing could have been trimmed a little, yeah. My favorite episode so far, nothing out super special, but I enjoyed it. And it's a nice little breather between the next stuff as they continue. Ellie, I'm just interested because you said, because we haven't spoken to you on the pod about this yet, what is your favorite episode so far at the four?
Actually, I'm not sure. I think it's one of the first two. It's definitely not last week's. I think that one might be my least favorite so far, last week's episode.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, for various reasons. But I'm thinking maybe episode one so far, just because, you know, after the kind of, after I'd watched season four, I was a little bit kind of like, I'm not sure. It didn't grip me. And then watching episode one of season five was kind of, it got me excited again. And for all those reasons I said, we knew straight away what the goal was. It felt more adventurous. I feel like they have learnt to balance the kind of comedy with the drama a little bit better. Mm-hmm. There are a few more lighter moments and banter moments that Discovery is not so well known for, which I think worked really, really well. I made notes for that episode because I was supposed to be on the pod,
yeah.
But I had no voice. I think Sean touched on this earlier. I think they did well to kind of look back and go, well, what works well in the other Star Trek shows at the moment and what worked well for us, and learning that actually making references to things that audiences are already familiar with, legacy stories and characters, they actually do work. And so incorporating the whole Progenesis part of it, I think that worked in their favor, because suddenly audiences, don't underestimate your audience. If you make a reference to something, they will get it. I mean, I have by far less knowledge of Star Trek than say Sean does, but instantly I was like, hey, I remember that. So I think that's worked in their favor as well. The one thing that I haven't said that was in my notes for this episode, and yes, it worked well in their favor for this episode, but why is it that now that they suddenly have these like portable transporters that they just can't walk anywhere? When she said, come to my ready room, and then they transported, I was like, it's there. You could walk there. Yes, it saved their bacon in this situation because the transporter is what allowed them to recognize this time situation. But in general, what's wrong with walking somewhere?
Yeah.
Why? There's no, why?
There's no real established rules of that. It's just whenever they decide to do it, they do it, which feels a bit weird.
And it's like, what's the point in the turbo lifts at this point? If we can just transport to the room next door.
There was one throwaway line this week that maybe this was obvious, that it says that they only work if you're on the ship, because they go back into the past and they try to beam and it doesn't work because the technology isn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, ooh okay. I like that. Yeah.
So,
but still, I mean, like, yeah, you know, if you can, if it's something you're able to do, just walk, be better for you.
That's
you
know? So lazy.
Has there ever been a an established thing of why two people can't teleport in the same place at the same time? Like, has there ever been a thing that's been discussed? Like, oh yeah, true.
But I mean, like, does this happen that, you know, we both appeared in the same place at the same time?
Yeah. What if it was like, come to my ready room, they both beam, and then they go and just turn into a big, like, mulch of each other?
There's a horror episode out there where surely that happens.
Yeah. You know? It's like in, what is it, Galaxy Quest, when, like, they beam up the animal and it's just inside out. Like, that's what I always think of.
Oh, God. well, I mean, of course, there's the enemy within, Evil Kirk. I'm Captain Kirk.
Yeah. Should we talk about our ratings?
Mm-hmm.
Ellie.
Yes.
Out of
10. Write it down. I just got to check what I wrote down. Oh yeah, I remember now. I gave it a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Like so I said, tight. It's not my most favorite episode, but there wasn't anything particularly wrong with it.
Yeah.
I totally agree. As I say, this is the first episode, and I don't know how long we're at, there was no Latin up. Wasn't bad. Nothing particularly stood out.
Interesting. Well, guys, I think this is the first. I have given it a 7.5 out of 10.
What?
I am
Whoa!
The highest on the episode, rating an episode of Star Trek, which feels very strange. Well, I think, if I remember right, I gave episode one and two, I think I gave them both like a seven. And then I gave...
High scoring, yeah.
Yeah, and then I gave episode three like a five. And then this one, I had more enjoyment than the first two episodes. There was something about it that kept me engaged a little bit more than the rest. So I was like, well, I can't also give it a seven because that doesn't make any sense. So 7.5. Because an A, I think I gave like the crossover episode of Strange New Worlds an eight. So I was like, well, it's definitely not an eight for me, but mm-hmm. I did enjoy it more than the rest. So look, as I said, these scores mean nothing, but I'm just, you got to stick to it somehow.
I mean, careful, show cancellation renewals turn on these. So, you know, you gotta be careful. I think, yeah, I think grand episode. I enjoyed it. I agree with you there. I mean, it was fun. I enjoyed it, but not a standout for me. And I think possibly might slip into the, do you remember that episode territory?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's bottle episode all over. It's like either they can really work for people and they can really not. Like, I think if you think like for Breaking Bad fans, a lot of people either forget the episode with the fly or the episode of the fly is the one that really sticks out for them. So it just depends like if it worked or if it didn't for you, which I think is what was happening with this one.
Breaking Bad is something about rehabilitating prisoners.
Have either of you watched Breaking Bad?
Seen the pilot.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I watched every episode. I'm aware of it, but...
Okay, well, there is an episode where the main character is stuck in his lab for the entire episode as he's trying to kill a fly because he's a person who everything has to be correct and in order and perfect or it's not right. And to him, the fact that there's a fly that's gotten into this lab that's supposed to be like the most perfectly built lab possible, they shouldn't be able to get flies down there. So he spends the whole time trying to kill it because he doesn't want to contaminate the meth that he's making. So it's one of those episodes that is very character-based, but a lot of people didn't work for because they were like, it's just him trying to kill a fly the whole episode. So it's one of those things.
Knew an old man who swallowed a fly.
And this is an episode about them trying to kill a bug the whole episode, so
that's
it works.
True. Well done. Nice. You are the king of segues.
My brain is suddenly like working at the moment. I don't know. Maybe it's the medication I'm on.
Oh, that was the other thing. I was really proud of myself when he said that it was a Krenim chronophage. I was like, I get that reference. I get that bit.
Hey, I love it. That makes me happy. That makes me happy. And I kind of need it because shall we go to the news?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
For over two centuries, you're listening to the Federation News Network.
We had a little bit of sad news over the weekend. So many Star Trek fans out there will know the names of John and Bijo Trimble because they are directly responsible for saving Star Trek. And I know that's a hell of a statement. A lot of people know what that means. Maybe people who might be coming to this for the first time, is that when the second season of the original series was airing, it was cancelled. It was around the filming of the episode The Deadly Years. They had got the news to say that, no, we're not being picked up. And John and Bijo happened to be, they were visiting the set. They were just fans. And they've given many interviews about this over the years. They set up a grassroots campaign where they did this famous letter writing campaign that got the extra season of Star Trek. And it's because like that itself has become more timely now when you look at what happened for Prodigy and what may be about to happen for Lower Decks. We're recording this in obviously April, that there was this massive, all these petitions were signed. It's a very comparable thing. You know, when you think this is 1968, this is two people, and Bijo said as well that there was, you know, friends came around as well, that they were cranking out letter after letter after letter. This wasn't set your printer to print 600 letters, you know, to then go through a franking machine. John passed away this weekend. And I mean, the man absolutely lived. I was actually lucky enough that I got to speak to them, John and Bijo, on the Clone Star pod a couple of years ago. They're just the sweetest people. I'm delighted to see all the amount of tributes that have come out for John over the weekend. He touched a lot of lives, and just the various tributes for, you know, through Trek throughout the years. They were at the Picard premiere that myself and Chris were at. They were slightly higher profile than myself and Chris were. We were very much the dregs. Don't you be worrying about that. And I just wanted to really just take a second to be like, he was a Star Trek legend. And as I say, directly responsible for us getting to do what we do on a weekly basis is because John and Bijo said, we're not letting this sit. And they did that. So yeah, sad moment. He lived a hell of a life, though. But our deepest condolences to Bijo and the rest of their family. What a man.
Time now to go to you guys and have a look at some of the questions you have sent us. We're going to do one question this week. Still have a few more in the bank, but remember to send us your questions on Twitter or other social medias, if you like, with the hashtag AskTrekCulture, and I shall store it on what I like to call my laptop, and I will go and look at them at some point and read them out to us on the podcast. I think it's time to get to the end of this episode.
Smooth.
So, our question this week is from Meme Wranglort. Or Meme Wranglort today. So thank you for that. The question is, which series has the funnest episode and which one has the funniest in your opinions?
Okay. Yeah, I get why those are different.
Yeah, funnest and funniest. And we could do, you know, he's put episode, but we could also say episodes. We could just make it more general. It's like, which one has the fun and funniest episodes? And again, they could be separate.
I feel like I think some have just sprung to my mind. There may be more obvious answers, but I would say funnest, Bride of Chaotica. Funniest, Tinker Tenor Doctor Spy. That was a funny episode. And yay, I thought of answers.
Yep.
Is Tinker Tailor Doctor Spy the one that ends with the hologram slave colony on mining on the
day? No, that's Author.
I was going to say, I was like, that's not a very funny one.
No, Tinker Tenor Doctor Spy is basically the Doctor like imagining daydreaming. And there's like a whole scene where like all the female officers are flirting with him and it's hilarious. And he like sings to lull Tuvok while he's suffering Ponthar. It's a funny episode.
That is a good episode.
Funniest for me is Wage Douche from Lower Decks. The three different ships, the Lower Decks on all of them. The Klingons, the Vulcans. And then you get like Lower Decks on the Pak-led ship. Red alarm. But like tears of laughter, the closing credits, Lower Decks, Borg Cube. So good. So that's one of the funniest ones for me. Funnest. I like things like Time's Arrow. I think they're great fun. You know, they're all back in San Francisco and, you know, there's, you know, kind of, Mrs. Carmichael, you shall play Titania. Like, you know, I love that. Or, oh God, there's so many. It was which series as opposed to which episode, wasn't it? Sorry. Funniest, yeah. Lower Decks, funnest, Next Gen.
Cool. But yeah, you can say episodes if you have ones in mind. I think funnest would be, well, even Next Gen or DS9, because I'm thinking of specific ones. You know, you have the Take Me Out to the Holosuite, which is a very fun episode. And especially within like the context of the episodes around it, it's just like a nice breather. And then you have, I'm thinking of like the holiday, it's mainly holodeck ones. The holodeck one on TNG where it's the Western when they're in like Deadwood. Data is like playing all the different characters. Like that's so much fun. And it's also one of the funniest ones, I think, as well. Yeah. And he starts like doing the walk and he like does a tobacco spit into the plant. You know what? That is for me the funniest episode. So I'll go that with funniest, and funniest I'll go Take Me Out to the Holosuite.
Love it.
Yeah. There you go. That's a nice way to end the episode, I think.
I think so. Thank you for that. That was a lovely question. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, everyone, for your questions as ever. Please keep them coming in because, like today, we love them. Look after yourselves. Ellie, thank you so much. Tom, thank you so much. Sean, thank you so much. You're very welcome, Sean. Thank you so much. Remember, please follow us at Trek Culture on the various socials, at Trek Culture YT on Instagram, just to be different. And thank you so much once again. We love you so much for the 300,000 subscribers. Thank you so much, because it's things like that that allow us to do really fun things like the trailer. So thank you to everyone who gave us lovely feedback over that. That was a lot of fun to make. You're wonderful. You're awesome. And Ellie, I'm glad you're not dying anymore.
Thank you so much. Me too.
Yay!
And I wish I was. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. No,
we'll see. We'll see if that makes the edit.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.